particular dialect you're using, you're dropping one of those syllables, and I'm laughing my ass off about horror movies.
Horror.
What are you
horror
saying?
Movies. Horror movies.
When they're doing horror movies.
Horror. How am I supposed to say it?
Scary pictures.
Horror.
I had my hands in my pockets when I started that countdown, and I got really scared.
It was like,
why?
And the countdown became a literal countdown of like, Kim Kendrick hit his hand.
I was like, oh no.
I was hoping that like your watch gets caught in the belt strap. You're like, no, but I can't stop counting.
It's just like a montage of like, he knocked the fuck up over.
One, zero, negative one, negative two, I can't stop, negative three.
Pulls the cord out of the wall. Pulls his monitor down.
I'm Kyle, by the way, in case anybody's wondering.
A small fire starts.
I'm Joe.
I'm Kevin.
Yep.
That would be nice. A funny short to record. Joe, you should go over there and do that with him.
Yes.
I got Tales from the Crypt for Dennis for his birthday, and I never really watched much of it. I've watched some of the movies, but I never really watched a lot of the old shows because it was just like right before my time.
That actually answers the question I was about to ask, which was the animated series or the actual series? Because there was one.
No,
it was fucking weird.
There's fucking weird, wasn't it?
The actual series. We're on season three. But one thing I learned about HBO is that they have never not shown boobs if a female's on screen. So, like, if you're watching a show that's done by HBO and there's a woman, expect there to be her boobs or some
her boobs
form
will
of
be
you're
on
going
screen.
To see them.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess that makes him the perfect station for, you know, network for Game of Thrones, and that was like a good choice, I guess, because, you know,
Song of Ice and Fire and Boobs. Yeah,
exactly.
Game of Tits.
But I'd actually say I think that I've seen some of the most original horror in Tales of the Crypt that I've seen, and that's weird to say because like it's old, but some of those stories are just like still fresh to this day.
Oh, dude,
it makes me feel like should people be lazy today? Like,
yeah.
Oh, dude, for sure. Movies. I'll be totally honest. On that same note, I've been watching the newer series. Newer, they were done in the 60s. No, the Outer Limits. When they did the redub of it in the late 60s. And, like, the first episode of it was actually, like, completely original. Nothing I've ever seen anything like it. And it was like, this is really cool. And not to be that guy, but like you're kind of saying, they don't make them like they used to.
I will say, though, that the new Twilight Zone series on CBS is some pretty original stuff in it.
Oh, for sure.
If you're looking for that kind of stuff.
I've been wanting to watch it so bad.
Yeah, if you just got to get CBS All Network or All Access or somebody who has it. So, like, Kendrick has all those channels, right?
I do, and getting it's kind of like stabbing yourself in the balls. But
it was that bad, but... Oh, just
it's
because it's
the,
like exclusives only or
it's
something.
It's probably the worst streaming service, but other than that, you know.
They have a lot of good shows on it. Well, they have a lot
of
unique shows
their
on it.
Their content is good, but it's probably the worst streaming service.
Mm-hmm. Has anybody, speaking of streaming services, this is not going to relate to that at all, I'm sorry.
Hard lip.
Has anybody seen the I only watched the second Gremlins movie, Gremlins A New Batch, once. Has anybody seen it other than me?
I don't think I've seen any Gremlins movie.
Oh,
yeah, me either.
The first one.
I have watched the second one. That's it.
Okay. The first Gremlins movie is what you consider a Christmas horror movie because it takes place over Christmas.
Oh, sorry.
That's the only reason.
For whatever reason, my brain implanted Critters, not Gremlins. But yeah, I have watched both of the Gremlins movies.
Okay. And so, like, the first Gremlins is, like, kind of this happy-go-lucky, like, horror-ish movie. It's not very scary. It's kind of
happy-go-lucky horror-ish movie. Got it.
Yeah, and so, but then there's two really strange scenes in it, right? The first strange scene is like when the girlfriend is like talking about how she hates Christmas and not everything's cracked up to me, and you get this really weird vibe from it, right? And you're like, I don't understand why she's being so negative on Christmas. Like, what the hell's wrong with this person? It's a holiday, whatever. Get over yourself.
Don't they know it's Christmas?
Yeah. So later, they get trapped in a bank. And she's like by the gremlins, yeah, as you do, when small creatures are attacking you, and she starts talking about why she hates Christmas, and Joe, have you remember this story?
Oh yeah,
I'm about to go with this.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So she she starts telling this Christmas story about how one year her dad used to travel all the time, and one year around Christmas they thought he wasn't going to come back, and you know, like, they were like really excited, like, because he said he might be home by Christmas and might not, and so they were like getting ready, and he never showed up, and he basically kept never showing up for like the next 3 weeks, and then they started to notice a terrible smell in their chimney. And it turned out the dad had dressed up as Santa Claus and tried to get down the chimney and got stuck and died in the chimney over Christmas. Oh, and it's just this hard fucking left into this movie where you're like, yeah. Oh, this is cute. There's like a little Furby thing, and like, you know, it makes these like kind of angry little gremlin creatures that are still pretty adorable. And then all of a sudden this lady's talking about her dad like accidentally dying, getting stuck in a chimney, and you're right. Like,
and that's why I hate Christmas. And I'm like, whoa!
And you're like, completely justified.
Yeah. Sorry, the only thing I wanted to add to that is like, it's kind of an interesting point you bring up too. It's like, even though the gremlins themselves are actually like creepy and doing horrible things, they like kill several people in the streets, but almost everybody they kill, as far as I remember, is pretty much set up earlier in the movie that you're absolutely rooting for it. Like, there's the old lady in the chair who's just like a stone cold bitch. And you're just like, God, she's like, and you're just like, God, she's just an angry old lady. And they like, the gremlins like trigger, she's got one of those chairs that go down the stairs. Like, along, like, the rail in the wall.
Joe, any chair goes down the stair.
Yeah, but like, one that's designed to. And they like
the ones that like they, automatically.
Yeah, it's like on a rail, so they like sit in the chair and it like slowly descends.
Oh, not a hover round. Hover round is the
other one. So it's like a hover round if a hover round was on a rail, it goes all.
What are those? There's a brand. We've all seen the infomercial.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they like short charge it, and it like rockets back up the stairs and like fires off the track and like catapults her out the window. And you don't like see the impact; you just hear the scream and the impact noise, and you're kind of like,
I watch this movie really drunk.
So are you saying you have watched it really drunk, or you're only going to watch it pretty drunk?
Yeah,
I mean, you should. Yeah, but yeah, that was like, they do all these terrible things. They're just like terrorizing this town and destroying property and killing people. But you're also kind of like, well. Kind of
like
goofy.
A good cleanse.
Yeah.
So the
it's
second
like a purge,
having,
but it's better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. The second one I'm having like a newfound appreciation for because apparently I didn't remember this from when I was a kid, or I just wasn't kind of like into geek culture enough. But the second one has like a ton of references and nods in it that are insane. Like, one of the main ones being, and I like this because I usually like horror movies that are considered like meta horror movies, where they like kind of either make fun of other horror movies or use tropes against themselves, or they're analyzing other horror by doing a certain type of horror. This one has like a meta moment that's not... Go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say the particular dialect you're using, you're dropping one of the syllables and I'm laughing my ass off about horror movies.
Horror.
What are you
horror
saying?
Movies. Horror movies.
When they're doing horror movies.
How am I supposed to say it?
Nope. Scary pictures.
Horror.
Jeez.
Prostitute.
So, anyway, go ahead. Go.
Horror films sometimes make fun of themselves, and so like when a horror film is making fun of another one, you have movies that come out like Wes Craven's New Nightmare. Cabin in the Woods. They're all usually pretty funny or have some type of semblance of being humorous, but this one, they basically, like, the gremlins wreck the movie theater in the middle of the movie, and they have to get, like, Hulk Hogan to yell at the gremlins to start the movie back up, and I was like, what is this movie? It's absolutely ridiculous.
I forgot about that. Oh my god.
So did I. Anyway, if you haven't seen these movies, I think they're a really good intro point for people because they're not super scary, but they're also kind of like horrifying if you think about it too much. So, you know, next time you're looking for a movie to watch, check out.
And they are.
It's on HBO.
A horror movie.
They're a bit gross. They're a little
horror.
Bit. A little bit gross. So be prepared for that.
Gross. Yeah. Lots of gremlin guts.
Yeah. Well, I just remember. So, like, the first one was basically like the lore, right? So the little gremlin creature, I forget what they're called. Whatever Fizzgig was. Well, they have a different Mogwai. Yeah, they have a different name. They're called Mogwais. But if you feed them after midnight or get them wet or whatever, they start producing gremlins. They just like pop out of his back, and
yeah,
then
so
they're the monsters.
Whatever version they are, yeah. So like, they can't. They were like allergic to sunlight. If you get them wet, they'll pop out more Mogwais. But if you feed them, they turn into gremlins, and get them wet, they pop into more gremlins. Clarification over.
Yeah. But like in the
but if you say they feed them after midnight, I mean that's any time.
Right.
That's usually what they make fun of in the second one. He's like, so what happens if they're on a plane, idiot? And
yeah.
He's like, I don't know. I didn't make the rules up.
Yeah.
After midnight, though, we gonna let it all hang out.
On that note, though, it's like they also just kind of go hard in the other direction, and they're like, okay, this gremlin's a spider. This gremlin's a gargoyle. This gremlin drinks a juice and becomes really smart for some reason, and then he can talk like a man. And you're like, what is happening? We jumped the shark really early on.
That's what we call the 1-2-3 toke writing system.
Yeah. I'm saying that you should watch the second one at the very least, because it's so asininely amazing. It's like a good version of it's like watching a version of Superman 3 that you appreciate after you watched it. I don't know if you guys have seen Superman 3, but that's where he basically splits himself into two people or something, and then has to fight himself in a junkyard. I can't decide if that's a
deep cut or a Kyle remembering the movie he rewrote to make sense of it.
No, this happens.
Okay. And there's a part where he's like smoking cigarettes, and there's a giant ski mountain on top of a building in the middle of New York. It's absolutely stupid, and it has.
See, the thing about DC comics is they're so much more dark and gritty and serious than
Marvel
comics.
I think this was the last Christopher Reeve's Superman, like before his accident. I think, I don't know if that's true or not, but
I believe so.
It's another one you should watch, but definitely not pay for. I'd say you could pay for Gremlins 2 and not regret it, but
don't ever
pay for Superman 3.
I don't think you should ever pay for any Superman movie, frankly. But that's just me.
Couldn't be as bad as Superman 64.
Nothing is as bad as Superman 64. Nothing.
What was the actual Superman? What was the name of the movie? The one with Kevin Spacey?
Superman Returns.
That was Superman Returns.
That's like a sequel of the original ones, apparently.
Oh, lost Kyle.
No, I'm still here.
Okay, sequel of the what? The original.
So like the original Christopher Reeves ones, I believe Superman Returns was supposed to be like a follow up to that, like a long time in the future or something. Like
all I know is that was a turd.
It was so bad.
Yeah, it was really bad.
And I wanted to like it. I went in like, oh fuck yeah, new Superman movie, and then that actually is what started my hate for DC movies, because frankly, I watched some of the old Superman movies, and I watched a lot of the old Batman movies, and I loved them. I loved Batman, campy 60s Batman. I loved the nipple suit Batman. I loved all of them. I mean, I was a kid when they came out. You know, I saw them as a kid. Some of them came up before I was old enough to watch them, so I just kind of found out about them and watched them. I loved them. They were great. And I'm like, oh, cool, new Superman. And then I watched them like, the fuck did I just watch here?
I've never seen a Superman movie at all.
If you want, I could just gouge your eyes out with my thumb.
I didn't think that Man of Steel, the new Superman Man of Steel movie, was terrible. Like,
and you know, that's actually I actually haven't seen that. I've been meaning to see that, and every time I sit down to, I just wake up somewhere else.
So yeah,
it's a defense mechanism.
My problem, it's like, okay, to be fair, it certainly is the best Superman movie that they have made recently, but the problem with it is it sets up these really stupid, contrived issues and then immediately ignores them, like, within a few minutes. Like,
I gotta go back to what you said there at the beginning, which was it was the best Superman movie they've made lately, which is kind of like the needle with the least hepatitis in the field of garbage.
Yeah.
I'd say it's even the best. I guess I don't really even see the Christopher Reeves ones. I was going to say that's probably
the first
best one I've ever seen.
I still think the first Christopher Reeves movie was actually a really good Superman movie.
I liked it.
It was fun.
So, let me say this without spoiling Wonder Woman 84, and you should watch that movie because
I've been meaning to. It's on my list.
But, like, I think finally with that movie what they did was they took a page out of like MCU's book and were like, hey, we don't have to keep making movies exactly the way the comics are. And we can take some freedom with it and do what is interesting to us, you know? Now, that being said, the characters are, like, there's characters that are in the comics, but they took the kind of like the page out of the MCU book and said, like, yeah, like let's make it our own.
See, that's the thing that always bugged me, is I felt like DCEU was going, and I think we've actually talked about this on the podcast a couple of dozen times in the last 7 episodes. I feel like the DCEU corporate playbook is to watch what MCU is doing and then do the exact opposite.
Yeah,
including being successful and not.
But I'd say 84 does a good job of following up Wonder Woman and making it kind of its own thing.
I have to watch it. I was going to watch it actually at one point this week. I just didn't get to it. So hopefully I'll watch it by the next recording.
Don't worry, Kevin won't watch it till next year, so we can't talk about it till then.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'll just mute my headphone.
I will watch it before Kevin does.
Do it my way, Kevin.
That's
watch.
Like saying you're picking a needle with the least epitenos.
Watch the movie, watch like all the sequels, and then go back and watch the originals, like I did with the DCEU, which was to watch Justice League first. And then go back and watch all
the
other
Well,
it's
all
ones.
Uphill from there. It really was.
I watched the Justice League
in my own home while drinking an irresponsible number of mimosas.
Did you watch the new one, like the Zack Snyder one?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
That's not been out yet.
I don't think it's even out yet.
I'll have to watch that and respond to you guys.
Wait. You mean the 4-hour miniseries he totally didn't have more footage from? He totally was his original vision and definitely isn't revisionist?
Yeah.
That one. No, that's not out yet. It's going to come out and it's going to suck, and everyone's going to be like, no, I want the real Snyder cut. And they'll be like, no, but like, this was it.
Guys, speaking of terrible series and movies,
that's
a really bad segue. WandaVision's coming out this Friday. Which I want to see this Friday. It's a Friday that's a relative. It came out on January 15th. And it's a big deal because it's the first Marvel series to come out, I believe, on Disney Plus.
Is it just going straight there?
Yeah. And they'll probably Disney do it Plus. like Mandalorian, where they release one episode a week. But
They're starting with two and then they're doing one a week, I think.
But it's a big deal because I'm pretty sure it signifies the start of the next phase. And the next phase is going to be pretty nuts if the Spider-Man rumors are all true, where they're like pulling back in Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield and like all the people who are in all those movies to do like a multiverse movie.
I have heard that, and I'm very excited.
I will need a change of pants.
Yeah.
You will, because it'll probably
be five hours. I don't know what movie is coming out. I don't know where it's coming from, but I'm going to need a change of pants.
Well, it's been validated a bunch now, and they talked about Jamie Foxx's Electro coming back, but the most important part is that apparently Wanda and Doctor Strange are going to be a big part of that movie, supposedly, in this whole multiverse thing. Because
I really
Doctor
like
Strange...
Cubert Bendersnick Snacks.
Camber Snabber Bops. But like the next Doctor Strange movie is called Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So a lot of people are like, oh, there we go. There's like all the dots connecting and stuff. So
I'm excited for the next phase, and I'm actually really excited about Disney Plus series is because The Mandalorian kicked so much ass.
Oh, it's so
good.
And
I don't know if everyone here saw the second season yet, but.
I have not.
Kevin, you don't have to say anything. I will say this.
I did see the first one.
With no other spoilers, the first season of The Mandalorian was sublime. I have no real qualms with it. The second season knocked it out of the park, and my main qualms are spoiler-related and ultimately are like, oh, you went with chartreuse frosting on my favorite cake? I was really hoping more for a sea foam.
Yeah,
I like that.
Like Disney Plus and like the Disney announcements, like probably a month ago or whatever, they just like vomited the new series that are coming out. Like, not only did they like validate that they're doing like a Secret Invasion series and a What If series that's animated that has like crazy crossover What If stuff, but they also released like 15 or 16 different Star Wars shows they're doing. Like, it's nuts. It's absolutely.
See, the problem. Oh. This is the thing that bothers me. Is everyone's like, "Oh my god, Disney's going to destroy my childhood," and it's like, "Nope, they're just going to continue to crank more of your childhood out at you and charge you for it." Which is what you want anyway. That's fucking pig.
It's what you've asked for. You just don't realize you did.
Are you so right now? hard segueing again. I'm sorry, I'm just monopolizing this podcast. The High Republic has come out. So the High Republic is the next Star Wars epic that they've named. It's between the Old Republic and the Clone Wars series. Like, ooh. It takes place between there. So it's got, like, young Yoda in it and a lot of, like, post-Old Republic, pre-Clone Wars, like, technology. But that's out now. So I'm just expecting everybody to go crazy and hate it. Like, I'm just sitting here reading the first book on audiobook.
Oh,
the first
okay.
audiobooks and comics are coming out right now.
Gotcha.
So the new setting is being established. And I believe there's a few shows that are going to take place in it. But The High Republic, it was supposed to be released last year. Came out. The first book just came out. There's three other books, a child's book, a comic, and some other stuff coming out as well at the same time.
Interesting.
Or in the future.
Future Kendrick, if you can get around to it, please put a bong sound effect every time Kyle says High Republic.
That's happening. But so it's kind of cool too, because that's another thing that's going to, that's a good bong rip.
Thank you.
Sound good. Because it's a new setting, and that inevitably means that people are just going to be pissed off, and I'm just so excited.
What that means is that I'm probably going to be indifferent or love it. Kyle will love it, and then a very loud but incredibly small number of otherwise largely physically like fat fans are very mad. And they're going to shout from their parents' basements about how much this is a disgrace and how much they want to see Princess Leia in a bikini some more.
I can't believe they rewrote canon that didn't happen in the first place.
But the established extended universe.
Actually, all the podcasts of them taking out extended universe stuff and putting it back in really cool ways. But we're at time, so I don't want to waste your guys' time.
Like, comment, and subscribe, anybody. Ring that subscribe button in the face and join our Patreon.
Yeah.
We don't have a Patreon. Okay.
It's a boy.
He meant Patron. Send
it's
us Patron.
That dispenses tequila. The Patron.
Right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.